Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The Bible tells us, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the Bible tells us that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The Bible speaks to us of adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness. The Bible speaks to us of hatred and variance, strife, witchcraft, emulation, sedition, heresies, drunken revelings, and such like. As you and I look at this list, we have other lists of the works of the flesh in the New Testament. For an example, if you turn to the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 20, 21, 22, you will also find a list. Now, there's 17, I believe there's 17 of them in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. There are not that many in the book of Mark, chapter number 7, but Jesus points this out in Mark chapter 7. He says that it's not the thing that goes in the body, but that which comes out that defiles the body. And he is talking about the fact that from the basis of the heart, if you remember, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you and I will recognize that these things began in the heart. In the book of James, chapter number 1, James says in verse number 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then he goes on down to say that no man can say that he, when he is tempted, that he is tempted of God. For God does not tempt any man. But he said a man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then he said when that develops, it brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished brings forth death. So you and I recognize that when lust hath conceived, and where is it conceived? It's conceived in the heart. It's conceived in the mind. And it makes a difference, ladies and gentlemen, as to what you and I put in the mind. And so Jesus said in Mark chapter number 7, he said it is what comes out of the heart that eventually, if you put these things in your heart, it will eventually come out. Then, when you go to the book of Romans chapter number 1, verses 28 through verse number 32, you find again that Jesus, or that the writer said, the Apostle Paul said that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And this is what happens. When men have a reprobate mind, he lists these works of the flesh. He talks about murders and envy and strife and hatred and idolatry and adultery and fornication in here. Then when you go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 9 and 10, he refers to it, and again, using some of the same terminology as adultery or fornication, idolatry and so forth, and he says, these things are contrary to sound doctrine. And then when you go to the second book of Timothy, chapter number 3, he said, in the last days perilous times shall come. And he said, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And again, he gives a list of these works of the flesh that are manifest based on Galatians chapter number 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. When you and I look at this, we also recognize that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Galatia, and he says that there is a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. And that the flesh, ladies and gentlemen, it comes out in our actions. Paul, when he writes to the church at Rome, he said this. He said, what I would, I do not, and that which I do not want to do is what I do. John put it like this. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these things of the world are not of the Father. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In the book of Romans 12, you remember, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You and I recognize in James 1, verse 27, James says, pure religion, undefiled, before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Tonight, I'm going to take four areas based on Galatians chapter number 5, verses 19 through 21. In Galatians chapter number 5, there are basically four areas in which the apostle deals with. Number one, he speaks of moral impurity. For an example, he uses adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. When you and I look at these terms, then there are a lot of things that are included in them. Now, I'm not going to go into the subject of fornication, adultery, and lasciviousness tonight. I went through that two or three weeks ago and just tried to emphasize that in looking at the marriage relationship, I don't want to underline this again, that of all the things that God has said in the Bible regarding a marriage relationship and the severing of that relationship, He gives, other than death, only one reason why a person can sever that relationship and marry again, and that's fornication. If you'll remember, I emphasize the fact that, a man may abuse his wife emotionally. He may abuse his wife physically, and I'm not saying, you just stand up and take it. Every time he hits you, you just stand up and take it. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm saying that for an individual to put away a mate and to marry again, the Bible gives only one reason, and that is the reason of fornication. Now, death, of course, is another matter. And so when you and I pointed out three or four areas, television, for an example, the dress, and the attitude of our world regarding worldliness, all of these things were involved. And so in Galatians 5:19 through 21, he talks first of all about moral impurity. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it is just amazing what is going on in our world. And one of the things, and I didn't have time to kind of put this, and I'll put it in order for you at a later time, because I just read the article probably a day or two ago. And that is that the mainstream media in America today is constantly deriding anything that has to do with Christianity. And so as a result of that, you and I must recognize that all of these things of the world that we're speaking of, all of them, moral impurity, lasciviousness, adultery, fornication, and included in this is homosexuality. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, our world is proposing, encouraging, and trying to get you and I to accept this concept. I want to tell you, I get amazed at our, at this kind of a side thing. Put this in parentheses, this will be a free 2-minute sermon. I get completely amazed at our news media and at our world. They got all bent out of shape. All been out of shape about Tiger Woods. Well, I understand that. I get bent out of shape. Folks, you and I know it's wrong, but here's an interesting thing. That is exactly what they have proposed, and that's exactly what they teach in every television program you see. Now, why do they get all upset about it? When an individual begins to go act out what they have been portraying for years on television, what makes them get upset about it? Well, it makes them look good. I'm not a judge, and I cannot judge the character of these individuals. I'm telling you, however, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what is taking place in America tonight. So there is the moral impurity that Paul deals with in Galatians 5. Secondly, he not only deals with moral impurity, but he deals with idolatry. Now notice what he says. He uses, there's two words there. In Galatians chapter 5, one of them, of course, is the word idolatry, and the other is the word witchcraft. Now, the word witchcraft, actually, you've got some other words that come out there with it. One of these is the word sorcery. The word sorcery, as a matter of fact, comes from the word that we use for pharmaceuticals. And it goes back, again, to the concept of drugs. Now, I'm certainly not opposed to pharmacists by any sense of the imagination. We have a great lady in our office tonight. She's a pharmacist, and so I'm not. And my daughter, as you know, is a pharmacist. Now, what they're talking about, however, is the fact that the use of drugs to generate the wrong kind of activity, and you and I know that illegal drugs, this kind of thing. but sorcery and witchcraft. All of these things go together, and you and I see this in idolatry. And he mentions that, idolatry and witchcraft. These two things go together. There are many folks tonight who are falling at the feet of the occult. They're falling at the feet of someone that will give them some excitement as a result of the intake of some... I mean, isn't it amazing? Isn't it what folks can find to generate their enthusiasm? And it feels good for a little while. Methamphetamines, they feel good for a little while. I was in Cookeville, Tennessee a couple of years ago, and I sat down with the sheriff of Putnam County, David Andrews. I'd baptized David Andrews back when he was a little kid. And he said, "Larry, I want to show you some pictures of individuals that we have incarcerated as a result of methamphetamine." And he said, "I want you to see what it has done." And he showed me the pictures of some of the young men and young ladies before and after. Now, I'm saying this to our young men and our young women, our boys and girls, that if anyone endeavors to encourage you to take some type of drug. Now, I tell you what, Gary, you may have finished this sermon. I may be going out the door right here in about 2 minutes. I want to tell you something, folks. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's all right, because you'll be wrong. But I'm going to tell you, we have encouraged the use of drugs with Ritalin. And I'm going to tell you, the result of that is not going to come down the pipe, folks, with a lot of young people, a lot of children later on. What do we tell them? Okay, you've got here a particular problem. What are we going to do? We're going to give you a drug to solve that problem. So what do? They find they've got a problem right over here. What do they think? I'm going to go find me a drug that will help relieve the problem that I currently have. Now, I've got ADDDD, whatever it is. I've got adult deficit disorder, whatever you can call it, what you want it. I cannot focus on it. I have 10 things going on at one time. I work on this one 20 minutes. You know, I'm like the guy that goes out to the garage to get a screwdriver, and on his way out, he sees something on the hallway and he needs to work on. He stops to work on that, and he needs something to do that. And so he goes to find, and then he finds a third thing. That's me. So what do? I just do them all. I don't take Ritalin. And so when Paul says the works of the flesh are manifest, and that is idolatry and witchcraft. Now, let me give you the third one. The third one has to do with a love relationship that is not right. Now, I want you to look at these things. Because when he talks about idolatry, witchcraft, now look what he does. He goes into the words like hatred, variance, emulation, strife, sedition, heresies, jealousies, envyings. You see, ladies and gentlemen, all of those have to do with the relationship that exists between us and other individuals. Murders, now, would fall into that same category. I cut it off, and when I was doing the preparation, as far as the love relationship is, or violations of love. Hatred. Listen, folks. The Bible said, you remember what Jesus said? He said, then said, murder's wrong. Thou shalt not kill. But look at what Jesus said. Jesus said that hatred creates it. Where does murder begin? Hatred. I know members of the church. This is so sad. I know members of the church who will walk down the aisle of a congregation and refuse to speak to another member in that congregation. Now, I want to ask you a question. If the Bible is right, ladies and gentlemen, is that not a work of the flesh? The word emulation, for an example, actually comes, jealousies and emulation actually comes from the Greek word zelos, Z-E-L-O-S, or Z-E-L-O-S. And it really backs up to the word zealous. Now, the word zealous is good. But when you and I look at this and we see this hatred and emulation and variance and strife and sedition and heresies, God hates division. The Bible says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The Bible teaches us over and over again that we are to be as one. Jesus prayed in John 17, "I pray that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." That you and I must have this love that exists for one another. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us? "Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal or clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand knowledge, so I have faith that I can move mountains. Though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love vaunteth not itself. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love envieth not." When you and I look at that, and we find that the New Testament is teaching us, ladies and gentlemen, to love one another. When you and I love each other, what about that? I see husbands sometimes say, "Well, Brother Acuff, I don't love her anymore." Well, then you go learn to love her anymore. Because love is not an emotion. Love is an action. There are four Greek words, sometimes five, for the word love. And when you and I look at it, God, through His Word, encourages us with these words: sedition, heresies, emulations, jealousies, envies, murders. Every one of these stems from a lack of love coming out of the life of a child of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, God wants this congregation. God wants the Lithia Springs congregation. God wants every congregation of His people to have a spirit and an attitude of love and not a spirit and attitude of discord. I thank God that we don't have that attitude. I pray that God will always help the leadership of this congregation, whoever it may be, that may foster the kind of an attitude and the kind of fellowship where there will not be disunity, where there will not be discord. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says to them, he said, I've been told by others, been reported to me by those of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Some say, I, Paul, I, Cephas, and I, Christ. He said, "I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you." So when you and I look at the works of the flesh, moral impurity, idolatry, the wrong use or the lack of the use of the word love, and then number four, we find that he uses the word intemperance, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. We have a problem. But my understanding is that in California, my understanding is that Burger King is going to be a test run on selling beer at Burger King. Now, alcoholic beverages are sold different places. But you see, the problem that exists in this, it just opens that up. Here, for an example, here is an individual who's 25 years old who legally can buy an alcoholic beverage, can go into Burger King, and a 16-year-old can go in there with that individual. He buys the beer the 16-year-old drinks. Now, somebody said, "Well, that goes on all the time." I know it does. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. I do not live in a hole. Now, you don't become holy by living in a hole. And so, you and I live out here in our society. I am simply trying to help us to understand. Now, but ladies and gentlemen, drunkenness is a major problem in America today. And we must pray and ask God to help us that we may fight against this concept. Now, not only that, but notice he uses the word reveling, intemperance. When you read, if you go and you want to read on some of these topics, you're going to find that this idea of intemperance, that it's debauchery, that it is partying. For an example, I kind of read a couple of articles that indicated such things as like a New Year's celebration. What do? Well, a lot of these folks get together. I'm not against New Year's celebrations either. You and I, we've engaged in them if you do the right thing. But what do? It is a time for us to get drunk and act stupidly. That's basically what happens. Christmas parties. These are some of the same things that take place. And all the Scriptures are simply saying to us, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I, is that these things are a work of the flesh. Now, you can do some research on this. Revelings has to do with dancing. I remember a congregation one time, some of the folks said, look, we're going to plan something for our young people so they'll not for the prom. Okay, now look. It's not the prom per se. It's the dancing that goes on at these activities. And so I'm just simply trying to help us to understand that you and I must not involve ourselves in the work of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And so I've listed four of these things tonight. Moral impurity, idolatry, you and I look at the wrong use of love, and then of course the intemperance, because it's important that we do have the right kind of influence in our Christian life. When you and I look at the works of the flesh, Paul puts that up against the Spirit. Now, he says the fruit of the Spirit is, and eventually we will study that as well. The fruit of the Spirit, and I think about what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse number 18. He said, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then as a result of that, the Bible says that we sing, make melody in our hearts to the Lord as a result of that singing. The works of the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very unpopular today. Very unpopular. To say anything in our world, in our society, even in the church, don't say anything about the works of the flesh. And that is, there are some groups that would not say a single word. Everything is positive, everything is upbeat, nothing is said about wrongdoing or sin or hell or fire and brimstone. My goal is to help us have an understanding of the will of God.